Good afternoon. It's pretty hot, but we have air conditioning. I'm going to be showing pictures of Africa in a second, actually. And I'll do it right now, actually. And their weather is about 40 degrees Celsius, which is about 95 to 100 degrees without any air conditioning. So I think we could just kind of be patient and really worship the Lord together. And I would like to share in the beginning of this message is, are you a Christian? That's the title of the message. Are you a Christian? Please look at me and try to answer the question with your eyes. Are you a Christian? And I'm not offending you. I'm not. Just checking, just asking. Because Christian means a party of Christ. Okay? Party of two, party of three, party of Christ. And I'm asking you, are you a Christian? And that's the, I guess, opening question that I would like to ask you. With that, I want to show you some slides. And I got these pictures this week, just a few days ago. Okay? While we were doing whatever you were doing this week, this was happening in northern Uganda, right underneath South Sudan, okay? For those of you who are joining for the first time, South Sudan is a country that's been fighting for the last 40 years. Christians were persecuted pretty severely, just for their faith, okay? And we just came back, Newhart went to Africa 2 weeks ago. We came back 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, okay? So to some of us, the memory is very fresh. Many of you went to Africa with the church, and that was my 30th trip to Africa, okay? And I am not trying to boast anything, it's just a fact. Just 30th time, I spent 2 weeks, so that adds up to be about a year, okay, in Africa. So I could tell you, Africa is really in my mind, okay? And this is northern Uganda, and this is the UN tent. 1 million people living in a tent like this, okay? And it's 40 degrees Celsius, okay? We struggle to sit through 1 hour service with air conditioning, but that's what they live. And, oh, this is Missionary Kim with cool shades right here, Missionary Ruth Kim, and this is Missionary Kim's wife, African leader. I'm not sure who she is. Okay, they're having a meeting, and these are Ajumani, city called Ajumani, and literally, for those of you who understand Korean, you think I'm joking, I'm not. The town is called Ajumani, and these are Ajumanis in Ajumani, if you understand, okay? And just think about it, people like that live. This is from last week. Just as you're sitting here, they're sitting there, okay? And can't really see it, but kerosene water jugs, right here. Why? Because there's a major famine. Water is the main leading cause of people die early in Africa. Water, filthy water, and malaria. Okay? It's hygiene purposes. And I don't know whether you can see it. That's what they have to do. They have to carry water on their head from one communal pump that they may have 20 minutes walk away. Okay? And that's the kind of life they live. Okay, you could see better just to get water. So do you see? You have to get on the line just to get water. Okay? And this is not shower for shower. This is drinking water. Okay? Drinking water. And it's not clean water. It's a pump water. So water is the main thing. And this is completely different city near Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda. And this is our missionary. And what I want to show is this thing right here. This is a water purifier, okay? It's the size of a bucket, and inside there is a ceramic filter. And that's all it is. And this was invented by one Korean-American missionary, young missionary, medical student, who was there for 2 years, graduate of Harvard, happens to be, and she invented this and providing clean water. And they set up a factory. It was approved by the government, and we could get this for $22, $23, okay, $2-3, and this could be good for one family for 2 years. Just think about it. You pour lake water, any water, rain water into that thing, and you get a clean water for a family for 2 years. That's pretty significant if you think about it. That's a great service. Okay, so and educating the town people, okay, before you give it out, because they may not use it properly, and we give it out to the people. And Kwon-sanim, who passed away like a month ago, right after I went to Africa, she passed away on Monday. And she gave me $1,000 right before I went to Africa, and she always did. You know, she's almost 70 years old, maybe over 70 years old, and she gives money. Pastor, please use this for the missions. $1,000 cash. So I was looking for a way to spend it, and I heard about her death, and I gave that $1,000 to buy 50 of them like this, 50 families, providing clean water, okay? So that was just a few weeks ago, and this is our missionary who will be here in a few weeks, visiting us, and just distributing water purification thing to the families. And while we were there a couple weeks ago, this is what we decided to do. We decided to build one orphanage in northern Uganda for Sudanese people. I mean, one orphanage, what is that, right? It's not much, but that's what we can do. We decided to give $15,000. Our steering committee decided to give $15,000 to build an orphanage, and another $15,000 to buy about 750 of these water purification thing to provide water, and use that opportunity, because you have to visit homes and need to have follow-ups, use that opportunity to share Christ with the families. And our mission center will be taking this water purifier and visiting homes and sharing gospel. So I just wanted to share that. These pictures came in. I talk to her almost every week with Kakao. It's free, okay? Africa, Philippines, London, works everywhere. Okay, it's great for missions work. And that's our missionary, and these are water purifier just being distributed to these poor families. And $15,000 will be given, will provide 750 families. Just think about it. Right, 750 families. I praise God that God uses church like this to provide the love of Christ to, you know, 750 families. Okay, today, going back to the question, are you a Christian? Okay, because today's passage speaks that the disciples were first called Christians. Okay, where was that? City called Antioch. Okay, maybe you heard of that city. It's a large city. It's a huge city in the Roman Empire. It was the third largest city in the empire. There is Palestine, and there is Lebanon, and then there's Syria. It's in Syria, current Syria, right underneath Turkey, east of Mediterranean, if you could picture that. Okay, I'll show you a map right here. Okay, Mediterranean Sea. Okay, this is Palestine right here. We talked about Caesarea and Joppa last week with Cornelius, Italian soldier, first Christian, first Gentile official Christian. Okay, Acts chapter 10 and today Acts chapter 11 marks a very important time in history. Finally, the truth and the gospel going outside of the Jews into the foreign land, Gentiles. First Christian we talked about last week, Cornelius, Italian soldier. Today we'll be talking about first church, Gentile church. Significant story. And it is so insightful to, I think, Korean Americans and Asian Americans, if you just listen carefully, okay? So Palestine, Lebanon right here, and Cyprus. Okay, it's all in the Bible, okay? And this is Syria, right here, Syria. Antioch is right up here. And this is Asia Minor, or Turkey. And this is Greece, Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi. It's all in the Bible, right? And Corinth is right here. And Athens right here. Okay, and this is Cyprus and Antioch. This is the first Gentile church. Okay, that's what we want to talk about. Many Roman trades and routes passed through that city, known for its culture and commerce, a place of a learned man and liberal studies, known for its different pursuit of pleasure. Okay, sort of like New York and Las Vegas, third largest city in the Roman Empire. Just think with me. Sounds very similar to New York City. Okay? And it's the third largest in Roman Empire, to Rome and Alexandria. Okay? And it was a vile place full of pagan worship, sexual immoralities, and Temple of Daphne was known for prostitution. And that's the city. That's the city the first Gentile church was raised. In that hostile pagan city, something like New York City. I don't know whether you feel the hostility to try to live in faith in New York. Not an easy place. It's becoming increasingly harder, and it's going to get harder. Okay? It's just the way it's going to be. We're following the footstep of Europe, Western Europe right now. I was just reading about London. You know, London is in trouble right now. We need to pray for London. Right? We need to pray for London. Okay? So that's the city, Antioch. Okay, let me just go and read the scripture. Last week, we talked about Cornelius, first Gentile Christian. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about first Gentile church. Now, they heard these things, and they fell silent. They means Jerusalem church, the Jews. And they glorified God, saying that to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Could you look at that statement? God has to grant you repentance that will lead you to life. I was thinking about that. Unless God grants you repentance, you don't have repentance and you do not have life. Okay? But what happened here is, you know, they always thought that Christianity was just for the Jews, just for us. Just for Jews. But finally, the gospel officially went into the Gentile named Cornelius. And they were glad. Okay? Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution, there was a major persecution in the city of Jerusalem, and Christians spread, right? They ran for their life. And that rose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. We saw the picture, right? As far as Cyprus, from here to Cyprus, as well as Antioch. Christians ran for their lives. Okay? But listen to this. So cool. Speaking the word of God to no one except Jews. Very significant statement. Okay? Kind of negative statement, but it's there for a clear purpose. As they were spreading, they were only preaching to the Jews. Why? Tradition, their belief, right? But look what happens right after that, okay? But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, they spoke to the Hellenists, in other words, anybody, basically, to Gentiles, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And what happened? And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. It's such a significant time in history, in church history. Christianity was only for the Jews, and the Jews only preached to the Jews. Sort of like Koreans. Do you share gospel with other people? We don't. We really don't, actually. Now be serious with me. If you share, do you share the gospel with any other people? Do you invite people? Right? And that's what was happening. And finally, this marks the time in history where there were some of them. Who are these people? These are the people from Cyprus and Cyrene. Okay, I keep going back in the wrong direction. Cyprus is right here. Okay, these are not Hebraic Jews. In other words, these are immigrants. immigrant Jews, diaspora, people who are third, fourth, second generation Jews, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Are you listening? Okay. What about Cyrene? Where is Cyrene? Okay. Alexandria is Egypt, and Cyrene is right here. Do you see it? You know what this country is? This is Libya. Remember the country Libya? Gaddafi is from? Okay. That's the country Jews from Cyrene preach the gospel to the Gentiles. I don't know about you, but this really excited me this week. It wasn't the Jerusalem Jews. It wasn't the original Christians. It was these diaspora immigrant Jews from Cyprus and Cyrene preach the gospel to the Hellenists, which means non-believing Jews. I mean, excuse me, non-believing non-Jews. Who could that be in the city like in New York City? Probably just about anybody. Okay, Filipinos, Vietnamese, Hispanics, Afro-Americans, white Caucasian, anybody. It's a significant time. As you're listening to this, I'm just asking your where you are in your mindset. I'm just trying to ask you where you are in your mindset, where our church is. Do you feel like we're trying to, and we're really open to anybody? Do you feel like you're ready to do that? We do that when we go to Africa. We do that when we go to South America. But what about right here? What about right here? Do you feel you are more important than all these other people? Do you feel you are more deserving than all these other people? Okay. This marks the time in God's history where the gospel began to go from Jews to the Gentiles, and some of them somehow see it and begin to be obedient. And I just pray that you'll catch it, okay? So what happened? Report of this came to the ears of the church. What happened was, when they preached the gospel, hand of the Lord, in other words, the power of the Lord was with them, and great number who believed turned to the Lord. People, all these Gentile people began to become Christians. So the report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch to check it out, see what's going on. Is this what God is doing? Is this something that we're supposed to see that the God intended? So Barnabas came to Antioch, Syria, and he came, check this out, he saw the grace of God, and he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast purpose. And I think this is so cool. When you see God is moving in this church, do you see the grace of God? I really ask you, are you glad? I'm just asking you. Barnabas was a man of God. Do you remember Barnabas in Acts chapter 4? He's the one with the Ananias and Sapphira story. He sold his property and he gave to the apostles, and he was a generous man. He was a Jew and he was a generous man. And he was a leading teacher in the Jerusalem church. And we will see it. He's a man of God who was full of Holy Spirit, and he was a good man. When he saw God moving, he was glad. And I'm really asking you, when you see God moving, are you glad? Do you see the grace of God? You know, I really need to ask you this question, because as I was preparing this message, a lot of people see it differently. A lot of people would object to it. A lot of people say, try to, you know, undermine what God is doing. That's what people does. That's what enemy does. But not Barnabas. Barnabas saw it, right? The grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? What does that mean? Man, it's God. It's God. Last week, when we were doing conference, many of you missed it, but there was a great, clearly grace of God in that place. Clearly. Okay? And people rejoiced. Okay? People clearly rejoiced. And what did they do? What did Barnabas do? He exhorted these Gentile, nothing people to remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast to the purpose. Be faithful, okay? Stay to the purpose. I hope you are listening to this, Korean Americans and Asian Americans. God called you. Listen to me. Don't wander your eyes. God called you first and given us an opportunity to share the truth to the people who do not know. You know, we had a picnic yesterday. I was really rejoicing. You know why? Because we just tell the next generation people, why don't you bring anybody and everybody who do not know Christ? And you would think, oh, will people listen to this? There were at least 8 families who came, you guys brought, and most of them were non-Christians, and most of them were non-Koreans. They came. People obey. People began to register. I was just so rejoicing, brothers and sisters, because there are people who are listening. There are people who care. And I just pray that you will begin to see this. Whatever. You know, God can't use you if you have that kind of heart. Let me just tell you right now. If you have that kind of heart, God cannot use you. You need to be humble and see what the Lord is doing. Okay? 8 families. If you think that's nothing, you're greatly mistaken. 8 families. Okay? So Barnabas exhorted, and he was a good man and full of Holy Spirit and faith. And what happened when he came, when he joined what God was doing with the Gentile Christians? A great many people were added to the Lord. God began to bless more, and church was formed. Church called Antioch. It's a historical church. Historical church. Okay? So what happened after then? So Barnabas was kind of like, you know, tied up with so many people coming to know the Lord. Guess what he did? Barnabas went to Tarsus and looked for Saul. Remember Saul? Paul. Great Paul of the scripture. It was Barnabas looked out after him, searched and brought him into the church. After many years, okay, it was Barnabas bringing Saul to church and build the church together. Barnabas and Paul building the church together. Can you be Barnabas? Can you be Saul? I don't care. I don't really care about anything. I don't really care about this church. I don't really care about Asian Americans. I don't really care about kingdom. I hope you care. Can you be Barnabas? And can you be Saul? Today, we'll be going out evangelism. You're welcome to join us. You know, it's going to be hot outside. I think it's going to be great. We're going to be serving water and iced coffee. I'll be drinking iced coffee, right? And offer iced coffee to the people. And hopefully, we will make some contacts and begin conversation, okay? I'm not really sure where to go yet, okay? I was thinking about Christopher Molly Park, but there aren't enough people. When we went there aren't enough people. So maybe we'll go to, what is that park in Bayside? Ellie Pond Park, yeah. There are more people there, okay? We're just going to go and meet people and talk. You gotta evangelize. You know why? Because that's when your heart come alive. Let me just tell you something. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you would want to share. You would want to share Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Okay? Barnabas brought Paul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they, Barnabas and Paul, met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, disciples were first called Christians. Okay? That was the first time in Antioch disciples of Jesus was called Christians. And I'm asking you, really asking you, are you a Christian? Are you ready to see the everlasting God? I'm really asking you a question. Okay? So that's the passage. And I want us to think about just 3 things from this passage. What is significant here in Acts chapter 11? Okay? The first thing is, the first church outside of the Jerusalem is Antioch Church. It's a famous church, very significant, important church. And the story of birth of Antioch Church was not the fruit of a systematic, planned attempt effort, not by a leader or an apostle or deacons, strategically, intentionally, done by church plant. It wasn't none of those. You know what it was? It was some of Cyprus and Cyrene. We don't know who they are, but probably immigrants like you and me, right? Second generation, third generation, I do not even know. They were Jews, they were Christians, but they went above and beyond of unthinkable, which is preaching the gospel to the non-Jews. That's how the church came about. I hope you're listening to this. I really hope you're listening to this. Unthinkable, preaching the word to Hellenists, right? Non-believing Gentile non-Jews of any ethnicity, probably. Who was there in Antioch? Probably from east, from the west, from Africa, from north, Germans, Asians. Everybody was there. And they preached the gospel. And Antioch church was formed. Why? Because hand of God was upon the church. I think this is pretty exciting, okay? Secondly, the Jerusalem church, they sent Barnabas. Barnabas was a man of God. He saw the grace of God and he rejoiced. Can you imagine someone who was opposite of that would came? Probably try to hinder what God is doing. Not rejoicing, undermining, doing satanic thing. But instead, Barnabas. You know what we know about Barnabas? Barnabas was another Cyprus Jew. He was an immigrant Jew. He was a diaspora as well. He understood God used someone like Barnabas. Barnabas was a great encourager, and he was a generous man. And we see here, he was a team player. And then eventually he gives the leadership to Paul later on. He's a great man. Can I just ask you, are you a team player? Church needs team players. Church is supposed to be a team. It's a body. I really encourage you to be a team player. And that's not going to happen until you submit to Christ. It's just not going to happen. Church needs to be a team player. Okay? So Barnabas, and God used Barnabas, and he ignited the fire of the church in Antioch. And he brought Saul, Paul, and he looked for him. Okay, he searched for him. And Barnabas was a man, right here. Can you go back? Yeah. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. You see the grace of God when you're full of Holy Spirit, and you rejoice when you see God moving. I just pray that you would desire that. Okay? Would you say amen if you desire to see the grace of God and rejoice? Would you say amen? You should say amen. You should say amen. You should desire that. When you see God moving, you should be rejoicing. He's everlasting. You're not. I'm not. We need to humble ourselves before him. We are in a very important period in Korean American church time right now. You need to understand this. Dr. Frank James, the Western church, North American church, is in a decline and rapid decline, and Korean American church follows that even faster than that. And that's why we are seeing what we are seeing all over the churches. And we need to see what the Spirit is doing. Okay? It's more than your school. It's more than your marriage. More than your family. I hope you get it. I really hope you get it. Because you will stand before the everlasting. Everlasting. Okay? Just want to share one more thing and I'm done. They were called Christians. The word Christ is Greek word, Hellenistic word. That's not Jewish word. The Jewish translate is Messiah, okay? And it was in Antioch, city like New York, very hostile pagan environment, People began to call Christian disciples Christians. It was a derision. In other words, people were making fun of them. Those are Christians. Those are Christians. Okay? And I want to share you a story, what happened in church history. And city called Lyons, it's in France, okay? In modern-day France, mid-second century, a group of terrified slaves, 848 of them, staring at instruments of torture with threats of authorities ringing in their ears. Knew there was only one way to escape, that's lying about Christian masters. They were accused of Christians of incest and eating human flesh, and that was their charge because brothers and sisters, they call each other, and they eat body of Christ and drink the blood of Christ, and people used to accuse Christians they're eating human flesh. And this was just ridiculous charge. But that was the charge, and they're ready to be tortured and die. Okay? By local magistrates, arrest 48 Christians and held them for arrival of the governor. Christians had come to Lyons about a quarter of a century earlier, and in the early hundreds, Pothinus, a Greek, established small churches in Lyons and nearby Viennese. However, the growth of the Christianity was slowed by resistance and prejudice. Now, Christians were confined to the darkest and nastiest part of the prison. The air was so bad, and some of them just suffocated and died. Pothinus, now 92 years old, died after torture, and his prison cell was only the size of a modern-day kitchen dishwasher. Can you imagine that? Okay, modern-day kitchen dishwasher, 92-year-old man after being tortured, and you're just put it in there. And that's how they killed Christians. The governor of Gaul arrived and determined to make an example of the remaining Christians. Some have suggested that he was happy to do so because he was expected to show his patriotism by sponsoring entertainment for the city. It was expensive to hire gladiators and boxers and wrestlers. It would be a lot cheaper to torture Christians for entertainment. Christians were killed for entertainment. Okay, sometimes they just burned it as a torch, throw them into amphitheater, and then eaten by lions. And they just did that for entertainment. Right? On the day of August 1st, 177, second century, the Christians of Lyons were brought before a mob in the amphitheater, and most of them boldly confessed their allegiance to Christ. Even those who weakened at first soon regained heart and asserted their faith. The torturers placed some Christians in stocks. Others they seated on a red hot iron grill. They let them sit on hot iron grills. After torture, they took several to the amphitheater for the lions to devour as the crowd watched. Among those were a defiant slave girl named Blandina, young girl, okay, whom they suspended on a stake and exposed to the wild beasts. Because she appeared to be hanging on a cross like Christ, she inspired others by saying this. In her agony, Blandina cried out, "I am a Christian, and there is nothing vile done by us." She died, comparing her death to marriage as she went to Christ, her bridegroom. The crowd had admitted that they have never seen any other woman endure such terrible tortures. Just as strong-hearted as Blandina was Sanctus, another man, a deacon from Vienne. When they put their hot red plates and were fastened to the most tender parts of his body, he did not shrink from confessing Christ. Looking on, the other victims saw that nothing is... Looking on, the other victims saw that nothing is fearful where the love of Father is. Nothing is painful where there is the glory of Christ. The tormentors exposed Christian bodies to for 6 days and burned them and threw the ashes in the Rhone River. Those who suffocated in prison, they fed to dogs. And guards stopped other Christians from burying them. And by doing so, these pagans hoped to destroy their hope of resurrection. These were the Christians. These were the Christians, brothers. Are you a Christian? Please look at me. Are you a Christian? Will you be willing to say that I am a Christian? These were the Christians. I just want to share one thing and then I'm done. When you share, your heart will be strengthened. If you continue to not share, but just wallow in sin, it'll be weakened. That's just how it works. That's how it works, right? And then just want to close by asking a question one more time. Are you a Christian? Okay, let's just bow.